Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis
Podcast.
Happy Friday.
Podcast.
Wow.
See that? When I have camera control, how exciting and how amazing the show becomes.
It's literally just Dennis and myself. It really is the Natalie and Dennis show today. It is a completely us duo episode. We have nobody in the studio today. Everybody's sick.
It's just moi and moi.
And we're sick too.
And we're sick. I feel the mucus right here.
Ew.
I can feel it.
Ew.
It's moving up and down.
Guys, there's nothing worse than being sick with your significant other. I can't even imagine once you have kids and everybody gets sick. That must be crazy. How do people deal with that?
It kind of feels like that right now, though, because everybody in the office is sick.
That's what I'm saying.
And then by the point where everyone is getting better, someone gets sick again. Oh, and it's just a constant cycle of being sick. I've been sick for every single podcast this entire season.
That's not right. What is going on with us? We need to get a little bit checked up, honey.
No, we're good. We just need some more vitamin C.
Maybe we just need sun.
Sun
we're
exposure.
Always stuck in here. You know what I mean?
That is true.
I think that's we need a beach day.
What you guys don't know is when we hit pause on the podcast, we turn off. And then when we have Friday again, we turn
it's
back
severance.
On.
It's like, constant, it's like we're back here.
Over and over.
Anyways, I'm really excited to be here today, actually. I have had such a full, fun week. I know we have a lot of really great topics. And I personally just love hanging out with you guys for an hour, sometimes a little bit over. I did want to ask you guys for a favor. And that is, if you could please, please, please rate the podcast. I know a lot of you have. Matter of fact, I checked how many reviews we had. I was pretty astounded. I don't remember the number right
really?
Now. Yeah, I was pretty astounded that we had that many reviews. And I just want to say they go such a long way. It helps us out a lot. So if you could please review us on either Spotify, Apple, all the good stuff, YouTube.
Commenting, liking, yeah. The normal YouTube stuff.
And sharing with a friend if you enjoy the podcast. That really helps. And also, to take it a little bit further, I would love to see you guys actually posting yourselves watching the podcast. I asked this in the last season. I asked you guys to post your pets watching the podcast, and it was so cute. We got to retweet.
So many cats.
I know we got a lot of cat loving people here, but anyways, I want to see that every single Friday. If you watch the podcast, let us see you watching it, and we'd love to share it.
You know who can't share it?
Who?
I can't share it because I actually switched to this phone.
Oh my gosh, wait, that is so exciting. For the people who are just listening, that is the Lite phone.
Yes. Well, the Lite phone is basically a minimalistic phone where you can't use any social media. You can't use anything like, you can't even use a web browser. It's just basic phone calling and texting. And so the thing is that a lot of people who do have this phone obviously have their normal work phone that they work from, but it's all about disconnecting. And I thought that it was so offline humans.
It is.
That I reached out and they actually managed to send us one, but we're going to test it and see, you know, how it betters our life, how it can improve our daily, you know, function.
Well, I'll be honest. My screen time has been amazing.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't been on my phone. This last 2 weeks, I have been so, I don't even know what it is. Like, I have been so occupied with real life things and friends and family. Every afternoon this week, I've pretty much hung out with someone.
Would you say that rotting and consuming social media is a way for people to kind of unwind now? Or is it just something that becomes a habit and it's like somewhat of an addiction?
Well, for me, I feel that you make yourself believe that you're unwinding, but really you're exhausted. There's times where I'm like, my eyes hurt. Like, it just hurts to scroll, to look at one more. It's so much information. I feel overstimulated. I actually realize I don't breathe as deeply when I'm, like, scrolling. Now, you know, for some people, it might just be winding down. I feel like for you, you feel that it's a wind down activity.
Yeah, yeah.
But, honey, it's not.
Well,
you look stressed when you do it.
No, I enjoy it.
No.
The thing is, for example, if I miss a full soccer game, let's say a soccer game was going on TV and obviously I don't have 90 minutes to watch it. I'll watch the highlights. It's more of like bite-sized consumption of longer format things that I would have wanted to watch.
Which I think is so negative. I'm going to be honest.
So you're saying that I should watch the full 90-minute game.
Yes, I think you should actually sit down, give yourself that 90 minutes to watch a show. Something I realized recently is, because I do feel that YouTube is a different form of consumption. I feel that it's, when I watch YouTube, yes, it's for entertainment, but it also feels like it's more learning. Mm-hmm. And I slow down. Mm. I slow down a lot. And this week I was learning a lot about how we don't think anymore as people. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you're barefoot.
Yes, I am. And what?
It's giving Rick Rubin.
Who's that?
Rick Rubin's a guy that says that he understands music and helps people with, like,
listen.
It's giving Yogi.
It's giving I'm Steve Jobs right now. This is very Steve Jobs of me. Well, anyways, so we don't think clearly, or we don't take the time to think, right? So just for a moment, you watch a YouTube video about learning.
Yeah.
You kind of just take bite-sized pieces of that. Mm-hmm. Then you find yourself telling a friend that same visual of what you just learned.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, you can't even put it in your own words. You're kind of stuck. You're sort of like, no. You just had to have watched it because, trust me, I'm just not giving it credit. And you know why that happens? Mm. Because we don't take time to reflect on how we actually feel about the content. Yes, you're consuming it, but what about what you actually think? How would you translate that? So that's what deeper thinking does. So I say you should sit down and watch a 90 show of whatever that was.
I feel like you were born to make long form video.
Wow.
But
that is such a compliment in this world. But
I feel like you have given it very little, kind of like your focus.
Yeah, I
agree. Your dedication, your time, right? I do think that long form is where it's at for you. And I think that creating short form content, even though you might think it's easier, gives you more anxiety. Because
I
like
that. I don't you're know not, if I agree with that.
I wouldn't
that.
Say that you're a big consumer of short form, right? Mm-hmm. You yourself are saying that you're kind of like escaping that.
Yes, right? I am. I'm escaping
and
that.
And so creating that, you kind of have to put yourself in that state of mind, right? Of a short form consumer.
Somewhat. But I do think there comes a certain threshold where you can't just constantly be consuming. You have to stop and create. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens to the best of us, where we'll just scroll and we're like, okay, I'm going to get inspiration. But to what extent? I think you kind of set yourself up in a way where you are like just copying others versus actually creating and taking time to think about what does Natalie want to create. I almost feel like it's counter. It's not productive.
You know what? Something I just actually saw it on your table and we haven't actually brought it up.
What?
Our sticker notebook is releasing or has released by the time this podcast came out yesterday.
Wait, guys, let me show you just in case you're not catching up with offline humans. These are our sticker notebooks. They're an A5, beautiful, small size. They fit perfectly, literally anywhere. They're so tiny. But what's really cool about these is one side, the right side is used for writing. The left side is dotted. So it could be used for like creativity or sketching. I think it's the perfect notebook. We also have these really cool sticker sheets in the back where you can store your stickers and then use them as you go. So all your favorite stickers you can put in one place. And for me, it's really helped with my sticker anxiety because I feel like I collect so many cute stickers. But the act of using them, like, that's my goal for this year. And I have gotten better. So I'm excited.
Every time I go on live on TikTok Shop and I sell, every time I show the sticker notebook, the views start to creep
really
up. It's so fascinating how much people love collecting. Collecting really stickers and collecting Pokemon cards and all sorts of stuff. And then that is kind of a way for them to display. And stickers, in a way, are also like exposure of showing what your interests are. So I showed Relakuma because we have one of those has a lot of Relakumas and people are like, oh, Relakuma, so nice.
But just to clarify, these don't come with stickers. You have to add them in yourself. So that's what you meant. Like,
they come with the free sticker.
Right. But it's kind of cool. You get to carry your stickers around. So this is my, what is this one? This is my learning notebook. Recently I've been watching YouTube and I've just been jotting down stuff. So that's what I use this one for.
Nice.
This is my little new like diary. So I can't show you too much. The green one. And then this is like my commonplace notebook. So any sort of fun idea that I like, I'll write it in here and then expand upon it later.
So you recently went out to a coffee shop and really dived into your next topic for YouTube. And that was a personal curriculum. And I actually wanted to talk about personal curriculum in this one. I actually had forgotten and I didn't include it in the script. But why do you think personal curriculums are becoming a thing? And can you explain what a personal curriculum is to the audience for those of them that don't know what it is and why potentially it's becoming popular again?
Yeah, well, personal curriculum is basically what it was in school. It's a learning topic, if you will, that you will take the time to learn within either that semester, that month, that week, whatever you choose. Mm-hmm. And the only difference is you're the teacher. You decide how you want to learn it, how you want to structure it. It's meant to be fun. So why do I think people are doing this now? I think people are genuinely really bored of...
That's what I want to say too.
Doing the same sort of scrolling and just routine and being stuck on their phone. So a personal curriculum motivates you to be a learner for life, be curious, and actually go through with those topics.
I do think that no one understands how to learn for yourself better than yourself, right? Like someone is very like, oh, I like seeing pictures and I like going places. I want to go to a museum and understand a little bit more about this specific type of art. Then that's cool because then they know that that's the best way for them to like absorb that type of content. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say what a personal curriculum is from my perspective. It's basically you're walking into, let's say, an English class, and it's that first sheet that they hand you like, oh, this is the exam of this week. This is Here's what we're learning. Syllabus. This is the syllabus. You're basically creating that, but for yourself, right? And so how do you learn? Through a lot of reading. That's kind of how a lot of people have set up their personal curriculums, where they're consuming and reading maybe 4 or 5 books about a particular topic. And then they're expanding that by looking at kind of other books that are observing the main book.
But it's not just books, that. Though. I think that's where, because not everybody's a reader. So you could listen to, you could do more in real life experiences, go to like museums. It's just a way to make learning fun for you.
And then you pick any topic that you want and then you go on with it. I do remember when I was in college and I was given the curriculum for, I think it was like microbiology. I was given this book and it was like, I used to call it my Bible because I had it everywhere. It was like a super in-depth video about microbial digestion and like really crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was such a great book. And I'm telling you, it was like ridiculously difficult, but there was something about, it was small in the way I held it. And I was like, if I just read this whole thing and that semester was only a couple of chapters of that book. It wasn't the whole book, but I was like, if I read this whole thing, I can master this. Like, and that personal curriculum topic of this week, cause we talked about it a couple times. I was like, there's a couple of books out there that I know that if I read them, and it's random because I don't need microbial stuff now at this particular state of my life. But if I read that, I could become like a master at like that particular thing.
Exactly.
You know,
but I don't think that is the point 100% to become a master. Cause I do believe that,
master in understanding, not that I'm going to go and do stuff with it.
What I was going to say is for me, doing that, thinking of a topic that I'm going to learn and I'm going to become a master makes it less fun for me.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden it just got serious. And that's not the point of a personal curriculum. A personal curriculum, it's to continue that curiosity of learning and just for you to do it on your free time instead of like scrolling, instead of wasting time doing whatever, you know?
I do think that it does require a certain level of boredom in order to start a personal curriculum. I don't know if anyone would just start one up out of pure curiosity toward the topic.
I've been doing this, but I never gave it that name. I've been doing this for years.
Really?
Yeah. If I'm interested in gardening, for example, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, how do I grow gardens? Or sorry, how do I grow roses?
Uh-huh.
I'm watching YouTube videos about it. I'm going to the library, learning about it.
I mean, but does that make that a personal curriculum?
Yes, because you know what that curriculum was called? Attaining Martha Stewart's dream garden.
I think that's great. The only difference, and you might disagree with me, is that for it to be considered a personal curriculum, I feel like you had to have done the search for the things prior to going into them. And what I mean by that is like, okay, you want to learn about gardening. You're not going to go through YouTube and like stumble and be like, oh, this is the next cool video that I can watch and all this. It's like, I have these 10 videos. I have these 3 books. I have these 4 gardens I want to go and like explore and see. And then I'm going to set myself up for the next 4 weeks to like do all of this. That's what I think the word curriculum is like rigidity and structure in that form. Maybe you had like a more free flow curriculum system.
I realized that. I don't think I could do the other one.
Yeah, I think that's a firm curriculum is.
But I was still firm in the way that I would study it. I mean, I was able to literally not know and then grow a bunch of roses. So I still was able to do it.
Well, let me ask the audience very quickly. Would you consider what Natalie did and like searching for learning of a particular topic to be considered a curriculum? Even though it wasn't like as rigid or as structured and she wanted to just go and learn about gardening, or would she have done it, had to have done it the way that I said, that it was like a full on plan to like attack this thing that she wanted to learn?
I don't think that's the right way of viewing it, because it's basically saying, hey, in order for you to learn, this is the one way to do it. And I don't believe that to be true.
No. And I agree too.
Right.
I agree that the way that you did it, for example, when I wanted to learn about PCs, I didn't go and read a book about it. Mm-hmm. I watch people build one, explain why, watch reviews. We all have different ways of learning, obviously, right?
Exactly.
And it's also like, how in depth do you want to go into a certain topic? Like, do I want to understand why a computer's working, or do I just want to build one? Like,
right.
There's different levels to things too.
Yeah.
Anyways, personal curriculum is the next topic for our YouTube channel, if you want to go check it out, which is amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to do a whole in-depth video on how to do it as a beginner.
Amazing.
If you're interested.
But overall, today is a very just airy episode. I have a lot of fun topics that we can talk about. Just wanted to have a conversation with Natalie about a bunch of different questions. But I did want to start with what's something that no one prepares you for as an adult?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
I jumped a bunch of questions and I went straight to that one.
No, but so many. Let's be honest. I feel like I didn't learn the right things. I genuinely feel like I'm just learning how to do life at 31. Why? This is so annoying to me, honestly. I feel that honestly, I'm pissed off.
Vent about it.
I'm really pissed. I just realized my life has been hard. In my 20s, my life was very difficult.
And why was that?
Because I was unorganized. Because I didn't know how to do a lot of things. I feel like I left my home not knowing how to, I didn't know about finances. I don't know, man. I'm pissed right now.
What do you say?
I think it's my period.
Is there someone to blame for that? Or
no.
You just simply just weren't prepared?
Life skills. I didn't have life skills. A lot of things. But then again, isn't that just life, that you're learning so much of this? I do have a lot of regrets in my 20s. I think about them often.
Could you not personal curriculum life skills?
Yeah, you could. And I did. It took me 10 years. Thanks. Ooh, I graduated.
That's because you're too free flow, right? That's what we were talking about. You got to be rigid with your curriculum.
I mean, I guess. Like, okay, this might not make sense to a lot of you, but let's be honest. We've lived in this house for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
We just got our laundry system down.
We haven't really even like formally attacked it.
But it's going to work. We bought this steel container and now we have all of these unique baskets. Mm-hmm. And now there's a flow because our laundry is quite small, I think.
Yeah, I think when you have a property and like, yeah, certain spaces are like, oh, this is great. We have a room that we can film in. There's always like the negatives, like our pantry sucks. Like it's so tiny.
It's tiny.
But then again, from home another systems. Person's perspective is, oh, but you got a pantry.
That's true.
So then it's like, oh, okay. Well, maybe I need to wind it back a bit and be like, maybe I need to be a little bit more grateful that I have a pantry.
No, 100%. I mean, I am grateful that we have a pantry and we have a laundry room, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
But
it's more like our laundry closet as opposed to a laundry room.
That whole life skill of just life. I don't know.
When we lived in LA and our laundry was in the kitchen, that was shocking. That was shocking
for
me.
That was shocking. That's such a city life thing, though.
Yeah, it was like a stacked dryer laundry system next to the stove.
But all right, let's not derail from the conversation.
All right, okay.
We said, what are things that we...
that no one prepares for you, prepares you for as an adult?
I mean, taxes.
Yes.
No. I've had a business for how many years now? I'm just finally kind of learning it, to be honest.
Okay.
Finances. Finances are hard. They don't make that much sense to me, personally, a lot of the time. What about you?
There was an interesting TikTok guy walking around a mall, and he was asking people if they knew what ROI was.
Oh.
And no one knew what it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so I recently actually learned about it. It's return on investment, right? And I only learned it because we're like selling stuff and doing business, right? Yeah. Like business things.
Business lingo.
I think if you don't dive into an area of interest, in reality, what is the need for a understanding a certain abbreviation, right? It just also goes to show that a lot of people he might have interviewed don't do care. Business or don't partake in that kind of business.
No, I think stuff. You nailed it. That was my issue in my 20s. I didn't care.
Mm.
I just didn't care to learn things. So therefore, once it happened, I was like, well, I'll get to it when I get to it. I was quite lazy in the way that I felt about certain topics.
I could feel that.
Right?
For you.
I was very lazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's where all my lazy series came about.
I gotta say that. You always say that I am 3 months behind. That's the thing that you like to say. I am always 3 months behind in terms of my mental flexibility for things, right? I want to say that you're years behind and not in business. So get this, right?
I feel so dissed. But wait, you need to give them context.
That's what I was going to say, right? Okay. I was getting there. You say that in business, I'm slow. And I got to agree, I'm slow. I do feel like I move from one topic to the next, and I move when I feel like I'm understanding.
I feel like we're being vague. We need to give an example.
Okay. Ads. For example, ads took me a while. I didn't want to do them. I learned them. I moved on. Website, certain business stuff. Or do you have a specific thing in your mind that, yeah, you can say?
I mean, I would just say like any sort of home move, home renovation sort of thing. In this particular business case, it would be like, yeah, we shouldn't be working from our home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Why? There isn't really a why. I think we've been scrappy and we're making it work. But this is our home at the end of the day. I want to have children here. I want this to feel like a home. So the idea of us thinking about, oh my God, we need an office space, took Dennis a little bit longer for me to really convince. That's what I mean by he's always 3 months behind. By the time I plant the idea, it takes me 3 months for him to move. And by that time, I'm like, this is too late.
Or like and another simple one is like including cards inside of our orders for like reviews.
Yeah, I was saying that from the beginning.
But there's a lot of like saying, but not implementation. Like how?
Because I'm the visionary. Yeah. I'm not the implementer.
So then I would say that the implementation takes time.
Yeah, that's true.
After the idea, right?
That's real.
Because the idea, I can just be like, yo, I want a moat outside.
What is that?
A moat is like a river around our house to protect us from crocodiles or from enemies.
What an example.
And then like all of a sudden, okay, let's go make a moat. That requires like freaking construction things and ripping the floor.
Yeah, you could be right.
I gave an extreme example, by the way.
No, but you could be right. I don't think in terms of time in that way.
Don't get me started.
I'm very time blind.
Extremely.
But you know what? That's my strength too. I don't see the impossible. I just make it happen.
You're getting a phone call, first of all.
Yeah, I know.
Is it an important phone call?
No, it's all right. Go for it.
Okay. Well, along those lines of time blindness, Natalie would have given me, for example, when we started dating, let me actually backtrack. Oh, I really want to do this, this, and this, and this today. And they're all in different corners of Orlando.
Yeah,
that was bad. And I'm like, okay, how the heck are we going to do that? Like, impossible, right?
I know.
Wait, okay. So what's something that no one prepares you for as an adult? I'm going to knock these out and then you tell me what your thoughts are or we can talk about it. Having fewer and fewer people in your life. As time goes by, people die, so move sad. Away, marry, and disappear. No one prepares you for that.
No one prepares. Wait, I would like to That's really sad. That's a really hard one. And you know what? Yesterday I went to a Friendsgiving. It was at my church and it was so cute. And it just so happens that the age group, typical age group, is like over 60, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s. The lady I was talking to was mentioning how she was a lot older and that everybody here is in their 70s and 60s and 80s. So I'm like, is this girl 90? I don't know. I wasn't going to ask. But she was saying how her husband had passed, right? Mm-hmm. Then I was in line speaking to another lady, and she was mentioning how it's a very hard season because her husband is currently sick, and she hasn't been to church in 4 months because she's been taking care of him. Mm-hmm. These are things I cannot relate to.
Yeah.
And I can't even fathom.
There was someone in the comments of that particular, the having fewer and fewer people. He was saying how, like, his pet died, and then his sister died, and then his mom died, and then his grandma died. All within the span of, like, a couple months.
What?
And that he was only 26. And so he had experienced all of that. And then he ended it with, well, you know, I shouldn't complain because some people have it harder than me. And then I was like, damn, but like, not really. Like,
I always hate that phrase.
I've never experienced it. And then people were like, don't say that. It's like comparing your sprained ankle to someone else's broken leg. Yeah. And like, you can't do that.
That's an awful phrase because you are allowed to feel what you feel. Exactly. That's what I believe.
But overall, no one prepares you for losing. Not just through death, but just people moving on. I feel like when you're in high school, you have your friends or whatever, and then you're like, oh, this will be like this forever. And then everybody like leaves and you're just you. And then you're like, okay, where did everybody go?
I thought back to my uncle's funeral because he's the first of my dad's side of the family to pass. And obviously very difficult. Mm-hmm. And I just cannot imagine my dad's side of the family getting smaller. And it's so
my
sad.
Dad's family is pretty tiny now.
That's really heartbreaking. How does your dad do it?
I don't know. He doesn't. He's like outlived everybody. And
it sounds so comical, but it's really sad. My dad's the white dog
of his family. He just keeps going. But overall, I do think of him passing one day. And it's going to be just like me, my mom, and my dad, I feel like towards that time. And it is like the smallest circle of family that you can have around you,
and like, you know, only they understand certain things.
Yeah,
like just how I know that me, Angelica, my dad, like there's certain jokes that me and my sister only laugh about because nobody else in the world gets it.
Yeah, and like the memory of that person is just kind of gone, and then whenever you die, like no one is even going to remember that, or even fewer are going to remember our parents. Like, It's you're a fleeting moment.
This is what I find the saddest thing, because I'm very about history, family history. Mm-hmm. I'm huge on it. And I find it very sad that when I ask my mom about her parents, she doesn't know about them.
There's less record of things.
It's so sad to
me. Less pictures, less recollection. All you become is a gravestone. You're just a gravestone in some graveyard.
And even then,
here lies Billie Jean. No one knows who Billie Jean is. Just like, he could have been some badass and you just don't know it.
But I think that's all right. I do think that you can create an impact in your own community. It doesn't have to be for like the multitude of millions of people.
Oh, of course. Even you can impact a few people and have had like a huge
impact.
Relatively successful life in terms of impact. Yeah. Or not. You don't gotta go fucking impact. God, I swear. You don't gotta impact a lot. Like, how does that even equate to someone's worth, impact? You know,
I don't know, honey. You threw that question. I don't know what you're thinking.
I don't know. This is going the
you're going
way.
Deep.
Okay. Prepares you for adulthood, grief, and how to cope.
Awful. That's the worst feeling in the whole world.
No one prepares you to know that there is always something to do. Unfortunately, those things are not fun, like laundry, cleaning, dusting. Doing all that.
Okay, wait. Can we also land on that one for a second? Because let's be honest.
Always something to do.
That is a never-ending chore. I think you just have to realize you'll almost never check that off. And that has given me liberty.
Yeah.
To know that, okay, it's a weekly occurrence. And you know what? That's okay. That's a blessing. That's quite nice to know that you have dirty
laundry.
I was gonna say dishes, because then you ate. I don't know about the laundry. The laundry won't always get
there. The fact is, you wash your car, okay, wash it again.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna get dirty. And then wash it again over and over. indefinitely, mm-hmm. forever.
Yep.
That is, and then another one of these was like, okay, you got to make food every day forever, right?
All right, this is really depressing.
It just never stops.
It's just a part of life, and that's okay. Recently, I've accepted that's all right.
Okay. Let me throw a fun fact. I want to throw a fun fact in here just to spin it. But most of Costco's profits come from memberships.
Okay. Duh.
Costco doesn't actually make that much from product sales.
Uh-huh.
And 65.5% of the company profits come from membership fees.
I was just thinking, okay, wait, because we make $0. We actually lose money from this podcast. So maybe we should do that. We should get members.
This is a members-only podcast? Imagine.
That'd be kind of cute.
What do you mean?
Not members only, but I was just thinking about how Costco only makes that amount.
I went a little bit more in-depth into that, and I figured out that no, not really. They actually make a couple billion off of selling product. But since it is a wholesale place, memberships are actually a big part of it. And it's kind of like the barrier to entry to be able to buy all these wholesale stuff. But that led me to think about Substack. So you mentioned Substack yesterday and how people are now writing and you can like subscribe to them. Can you explain what Substack is to our audience? That kind of, I thought of that Costco thing and memberships and then it linked me to that.
All right. Well, my definition of Substack is it's an intelligent, non-confrontational Twitter.
Oh, man.
That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. And it's for writers and for people who want to share value.
Okay.
Not just your opinion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just value. And so I recently started following Ingrid Nilsson on Substack. She used to be a former YouTuber. Now she has a candle company. Really cool. And she was saying that in the last 90 days, she's made almost $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great for just writing.
Yeah.
Not to say that, because I know what it's like to write a script. Things take a lot of time. Even this week, I was writing for hours, right?
Yeah.
A YouTube script. So, but I've been very interested in podcast or Substack.
Writing for Substack?
Yeah. I think I'm going to do it. I really like it.
How does it feel? First of all, there's like the viewer perspective of subscribing to something and then paying for something.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I had always in my life thought about paying or subscribing to something, I think big corporation, Netflix, paying for my internet service, paying for like bills, utilities, that kind of stuff, right? And then as of late, I've never been very into Twitch streaming or watching streaming in general, but there is that subscribing to a person, mm-hmm. right? To a single individual who is creating content that you enjoy and you subscribe, whether it be because you want to support them or give them money or you just want to show appreciation, or maybe you really just want that content so bad that you want to subscribe. But I think it all began with YouTube memberships, led into like all that subscription model stuff. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts on it, and then maybe I can give my thoughts on it. But how do you feel like that's the future of content, that it's all kind of like behind this firewall, I think that's what it's called, or paywall of protection, and you have to like pay for all these things, kind of like a mini subscription plan for everything?
Well, at first when you were saying that, I had a different opinion, and I was like, yeah, people should pay for certain people's opinion and value. I still believe that. Mm-hmm. I really do. I had a very difficult time with that because I created free content for so long on YouTube. Therefore, all the worksheets that I gave out for free, which were literally 500,000. Well, mm-hmm. people subscribed to
the documents, worksheets. To the, uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I could have profited off of that, but my mind wouldn't let me because I couldn't believe that anybody would pay for that.
Okay.
That's why it took me so long to start a business because I was like, I already do free stuff. Of course, I was paid by YouTube's AdSense. I was paid by sponsors. I was paid through like links, affiliates, but I could never fathom that. And I think that made me shrink myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was a bad way of thinking. So my answer to you is yes, I do believe that people should and can have subscriptions, et cetera, et cetera, if they are providing something valuable. Now, as you continue to say that, I was thinking, oh my God, Kindle. There was a bunch of issues with Amazon and how all of a sudden people had purchased these books And the covers that they originally purchased are now used to promote other books. And they were pissed because I thought this was my library. Well, not really. You're just borrowing it.
Yeah.
That's annoying. It's
called streaming. You don't own it. You're streaming the book.
I would get so upset also whenever I would buy The Devil Wears Prada. All of a sudden, I have to buy it again if I want to watch it every freaking quarter. I don't know how many times I've rented that movie.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm very much a physical media sort of person. I have a lot of physical stuff because I do want that feeling of, I want to watch that movie again.
All right. There's a ridiculous amount of layers to the conversation we just kind of brought up. So first of all, I wanted to say that your idea of free content, we are creating free content for people, stuck to me too. And so anytime I had to charge anyone, and even in the pricing of the Best Me Journal, in the way that we do things, I feel bad. I feel bad charging. I feel like everything we do should be free. I don't have memberships on our Instagram on. I don't have memberships on anything. I was against the idea of Patreon. I was against the idea of streaming and making money. Yeah. All of that stuff, that kind of mindset of making money from being creative felt wrong.
I agree 100%. I used to feel that way. I battle with that.
I feel that too, though.
I still battle with it. But let's be honest. We had to stop the podcast.
Yeah.
Why? This wasn't making us money. And two, well, not just because it wasn't making us money. It's just that we had to make money in other ways. And we were spending a lot of time on this.
I don't feel bad taking money from sponsors. They are big corporations. And that's why I think my mind is like, big corporate overlord. Yes, give me some. But then I'm like, oh, look, the simple viewer. I feel bad, you know? But
recently I've also battled with that. Here's another layer to throw into all this.
Yeah.
Right? The big corporation. Think of something like, I don't know, a certain... Okay, I'm thinking about farmers markets.
That's small. Okay.
No, it is.
Yeah.
So, but...
Go ahead.
I went to a farmers market. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to support the person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're telling me I have to pay $75 for this? $75. I can't even remember. I think it was like a book or something.
Nah, hell no.
And I was like, I want to support you, but I just know that I could go over there to book Barnes & Noble and get this book. You know what I mean?
They did their math wrong.
So that's what I'm saying. So there are certain moments where you're like, or for example, we had some sort of, my mom's friend come over and she was selling jewelry, right? We all wanted to buy this jewelry, but all of a sudden this jewelry is costing us like Tiffany and Co. numbers.
Yes.
And I'm like, girl, we can't do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so that's also, it's like
that's like value and screwed up ideals of what that particular thing is worth.
But let's be honest.
But they also don't feel bad about having ridiculous margins. And especially now that I've learned about margins and products,
it's all perceived value.
Oh no, that's what brands are. Exactly. That's the whole thing. But they're charging those numbers without having built that brand value. I think they're charging before they even give you ethos or any idea. It's like, oh well, this is worth this. And then if you do research, okay, Alibaba, like come on now, like that's not worth that, right? For a lot of people, okay, you got a blank sweater. If I go to a farmer's market and someone is trying to shove me a sweater in my way and they have a logo on it and it's just a blank sweater, I have to have some sort of feeling or attachment to the brand's message. That is where the real value lies.
So that happened yesterday at the church event.
Yeah.
Where the whole church event was for human trafficking.
Okay.
Right? And so they were selling sweaters and hats.
Okay.
And it had a message on it. Obviously, we know we've done the back end stuff, like merch and stuff. So we know how much things really cost. And I think people are becoming more transparent to things.
Yeah.
So the sweater was, I was looking at it and
I'm ready to be a little bit shocked. I kind of feel where this is going.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to be judgmental. So that's the thing. But I didn't buy it.
How much was the sweater?
Let's just say I didn't partake because first of all, I didn't like the sweater. So I was like, okay. I like the mission.
All right.
but I really can't see myself wearing that sweater. And I'm trying to be really good with my finances. So I was like, I'm not about to drop $75 on the sweater. I live in Florida.
Wow.
I live in Florida, right? So they were showing, wait, this is really funny. So they had like a little scanner thing. And so they were showing everybody like step by step how to do it. So everybody in the table, all the older women were taking their phones out and like scanning or whatever. And then up on the screen, you could see like she was adding to cart $75, $50 for a cap.
Okay? No way.
Wait. But again, it's for a good cause. Doesn't matter. I feel bad. So I remember that the lady, like she purchased. And then
they get you with the good cause.
The one in the front was sort of like putting her phone down a little bit, right? And then the one in the back is like, hey, do you want me to help you with it? And she's like, no, I think I'll do this at home.
Yeah. No. So,
I don't know. It's such a hard gamble, though. I don't know. Because I was just thinking about...
I don't like donating money to causes without knowing how much of that cause, how much of what I'm giving is going.
100%. 100%.
So, they're losing money? Because someone's investing in the product.
Yeah, 100% was going for it. That was the whole thing.
I don't know about that.
100% was going.
Okay. Well, value. But okay, memberships. I actually like that topic and I want to continue with that topic, okay? We've never had any sort of Patreon membership kind of thing.
System. We did YouTube members. We did.
For a little bit
because, and then I removed everybody that had subscribed because I said I can't keep up and I can't give them value. But we tried to do something cute.
Okay.
We gave them like physical stuff. Remember?
We made emojis too.
That was pretty big of us. No, but emojis are digital, but we gave them like a little notebook with a pen. It was like inside this little cute thing with stickers. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
And then I was like, wait a minute, damn minute. We don't have the bandwidth for this. And it was like my sister like printing out the stickers and I was like, oh hell no, we can't do this, guys. But we did it, and then we canceled all the members.
If someone subscribed to something, do you feel like there always needs to be something in return, or can someone simply give because they enjoy the content and want to support?
If I'm the business and you're giving me money,
yeah,
it better be exceptional. Mm-hmm. Period.
What if
I feel a lot of pressure?
What if the content that you're already doing is exceptional? They just want you to keep doing it.
To me, it's not enough.
Really?
To me, so it's
you need
not
to
enough.
Change.
What do you mean change? No, well, I think you need to give them more value.
No, but let's say you're just running a YouTube channel and you're trying real hard.
I don't agree with that. You're doing real well.
People want to subscribe as members. What is the benefit? Nothing. You just want to give. And people want to give. They're lining up to give.
I get it. People do that. I don't feel comfortable with that. I've seen it. I don't like that. For what reason?
Okay, so if someone sets up a Patreon, it's because they have to create that extra thing, that extra video, the extra post, the open Q&A with their audience. Not simply accepting donations for continuing to create what they already do.
As a creator, I don't feel comfortable doing it any other way.
Is that why you agree with Substack? Because it requires like doing that extra thing, like writing?
It's not just writing. You are literally giving people confidential information.
Okay.
That you wouldn't share with anybody else. She was giving me numbers. I'll subscribe to that.
Cool.
You know? That's pretty eye-opening. That's like you sitting down in a sales meeting with me and being like, here's how much we made. Here's how much the profit was. Here's this. Here's that. That's transparency. I do think you have to pay for that.
But then that kind of goes against what streaming is, because streaming is just people donating money, or like super fans here on YouTube. That's a thing. Or super thanks. Just giving for the sake of like, oh, I like your content. Boom. Here, have this. Right.
I'm sure that's really nice. I don't feel comfortable with that. Yeah,
I feel the same way.
I wish I did though, because it's like it's just low hanging fruit, and it's sort of like that push is really helpful. Like, you don't think that could help us with YouTube? Yeah, absolutely, it could help us create better content for sure. But I just don't like. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with that. I've created free content for so long that I just.
So if we like lock this podcast and said, "Hey, you got to pay memberships moving forward," feel wrong with that?
Like, what else are we giving them? Are we sitting with them maybe once a month and doing a live thing and we're all chatting? Maybe. It's something that's different from what we've done. Okay.
Yeah. Understood.
That's how I feel.
So, yeah. Understood. Cool. Okay. Wow. We went from Costco to memberships to Patreon. So, all these things.
But I'd like to know what they think, honestly, because it's a battle, I think, as a creative, as a business person, and just as a consumer.
Wow. You got me thinking a lot. All right. Anyways, moving forward to the next question. This one was actually very intriguing to me, and I feel like we can come up with a bunch of stuff to say here, especially through our health journey, I guess. This is kind of where it's going. But overall, what is something people avoid or think is not healthy for you but is actually very healthy?
Taking a vacation.
Mm. You think taking vacations is healthy?
Taking at-home vacations.
At-home vacations. Oh, wow.
Because I genuinely think, unless you're going to go to a cruise where everything is done for you, everything is you get fed, you get your food, you get cleaned up after, you really just get to rot.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a real, real vacation. And I realized that after I went to Europe to 4 different spots with my family, and I was like, guys, I'm exhausted. This is not vacation.
You were on an excursion.
We went on an excursion, but it was a vacation.
Not vacation.
Yeah, masked as a vacation. And I was tired, and my sister passed out on the last day because we were freaking exhausted.
You know what I find interesting? We went to Hawaii, and on not the first place, not Waikiki, the mm-hmm. other place. We went to
Honolulu?
We went to somewhere. Maui?
Maui.
There was like, we went to this like super remote area, and then we were going there or whatever. And then when we arrive, it's a hotel. It's a hotel mm-hmm. and it's got a pool and it's like really nice. Oh, we're in Hawaii, but it's just a pool. Right. And I thought to myself when we were there, I was like, I wonder if there's something like this in Orlando. Right. And if you don't explore outside of the hotel, if you don't leave the hotel, then in reality, it can be copied and agreed. Placed anywhere.
I don't like those sort of trips.
Right. So, but those tend to be the most relaxing. And the reason why is because it's very minimal thinking. You do the activities the hotel provides for you. You'll go at night and see the show, and they'll do like a whole fire breathing crap.
And then you go sleep with your full belly. That's full.
And you know that next morning there's continental breakfast, and then there's like the pool again. And then it's like, it is relaxing.
Yeah.
Right. If you
get to sleep in, if you wish,
go to explore a city, like let's say Madrid, that was nice, but it was tiring. And like, it doesn't,
oh my God, yes,
become a vacation. Sorry.
But I had the best time there. If I were to do one or the other, yeah. I would say that one was the best. I almost died.
Sorry. So which one do you like more, the hotel or the experience of exploring?
Exploring.
Exploring.
I have better memories. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's not a vacation.
It is a vacation, but it's more tiring.
I really see Japan as a semi-excursion, semi-vacation. That was actually really nice.
That was a great one.
I think that it was also very nice because of the length of time. If you can actually set aside maybe more time than what you thought you needed, is better because you can do everything that much slower, like mm-hmm. slightly slower.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you got to experience everything right away, like mm-hmm. run and prepare everything. Have a curriculum for touring.
So that was one. Going. Yeah, taking a vacation for me.
Taking a vacation. So yes, I think that that is something that people avoid. That is, what is something that people avoid that they think is not healthy for you, but is actually very healthy? Yes, a vacation. Mm-hmm. Another one was not being in a relationship. That it can actually be healthy to not be with someone mm-hmm. for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
That's true. We all know those people that like break up and then immediately enter another relationship and then immediately enter another one after that, right? What do you say that, and I know that when you were younger, you had a lot of relationships. Was there a reason why you never had like a moment where you were just simply just like yourself?
I was trying to get over someone.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's, you tend to fall in that trap.
You know? So it's just simply to get over someone else?
Yeah, because my mom would always say, un clavo saca otro clavo. Which means, a nail will
take out another nail.
Yeah,
it almost sounds like not possible.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's some sort of saying. But yeah, that's why I think I did it. When mm-hmm. I really reflect back, I'm like, yeah, why did I even date that guy? Oh, he was just there and I was trying to get over somebody else, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that in certain circumstances, instead of having entered into another relationship, having been alone for a while would have been healthier for you?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, because I was pretty depressed.
About then you start crying. Leaving relationships? And the only thing that would help was entering another one?
Because you're kind of distracted. That's what it is. You're distracted. You know the pain of having your heart broken? I don't think you do, honey.
You know what, that actually makes me think, right? And one of them was being bored, right? Just simply having nothing to do. But I do feel like life is distractions. Life in reality is just distractions from... Okay, so we earlier in the podcast talked about the chores. Like, chores are that set of tasks that are unavoidable, right? And then above that is kind of like the simple pleasures of watching TV and scrolling or whatever. Those are the distractions, right? The distractions that take away from all of these other things, right? But it's very seldom that you do a higher level activity that you actually have to go and like put more input into. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that's kind of a distraction too, right? Wouldn't you say just everything we do in a certain way is a distraction from things that need to be done?
I think you're a philosopher. You think way too deep.
At the end of the day, there's very little time to just exist and just be, because we're always filling our curriculums. In our life, right? And being bored is very healthy. And I haven't been bored in a while.
You haven't been bored in a while?
No, I haven't been bored. And what that's do I why tell I'm you? Actually looking forward to this phone, like I had mentioned to you, because, and you told me yesterday, and we had a little bit of an argument about it, right? How I'm always trying to fill my time. And I have, to a certain extent, realized that. But sometimes the things that I find myself doing are boring.
Like what?
So something that I've been recently doing is when I'm packing in the packing room, I'll play music or I'll put the TV and I'll have it as background noise. Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, mm-hmm. is it wrong for me to do that? Or should I just solely pack? I feel like I have to have all these things kind of,
but that's not the distraction I'm saying. That's not what I was referring to.
What were you referring to?
You'll be cooking and you're scrolling on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And I'm there.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, hey, I'd love to fill that time.
But it seems to me like you were also annoyed when I'm just simply on my phone, but you're not there. Like, what I would mean? So yesterday I was, for example, just eating.
But I was waiting on my phone for you upstairs.
No, that what we had agreed on was that I was going to go downstairs and eat. And I said, hey, you want to go with me? And you said no.
But I didn't want to go with you. I wanted to relax.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think it would take you so long. It took you longer because you were scrolling on your phone eating. And no, then when I came down after eating, like 30 plus minutes.
And that's another issue that I have recently is like, I feel like your time blindness, which you mentioned earlier in the show, mm-hmm. is impacting me. And what I mean by me is I feel like you are looking at the activities or things that I'm doing and thinking that I need to complete things faster than what I'm taking and doing them. And I feel like I'm being timed.
I could agree with that, except that it's also difficult because like I got back from my event yesterday, right? I wanted to hang out with you. It was still kind of early. I wanted to watch our show. But you had to pack. So, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, what we're doing is not sustainable. Because if you're having to do this every day and I have to wait for you up until I don't know what time for us to finally hang out, that can't be good for us.
Packing is the
most important thing.
Most important thing. And it is what we work towards every day.
But guess what? You can give that up to someone. Somebody can help you.
And then my response to that every time is, okay.
Okay. So
what do we do?
Let's train someone.
Who? Who's going to be here at 8?
Not at 8.
Or anytime.
But we don't have to give out orders that fast every day.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. Because you want a good score on TikTok Shop.
No, it's all about just customer service. That is a...
Customer service?
That is a part of the job we have signed up for, whether you like it or not, because it is also for every TikTok you post and all of the content that you do, that is the result, a sale, right? All of the hard work, all of the work that we put in every single day, every carousel, every video, every reel, every everything, the result is a sale.
I'm not going to change your mind
okay
about this. I can just plant a seed and tell you how I feel. I think what you're doing is unsustainable.
Yeah.
I think every day that you're doing it and you only think that you are the only one that could do it is not leaving room for growth operationally.
So who can do it?
Anybody else. Literally 1 hour out of the day, I can go, Franceli can go, the girls can go, we can all go and
help.
Did
you say you? Because you know that you say that you don't want to do that, right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so that's a no. Franceli has
her
stuff.
But I still help, and I still help.
Yes, but Natalie, it's you're giving me an answer Nick, it's not going to work with you. Just like you say that I shouldn't do
it. I'm not going to change your mind on this. I also didn't think we'd get into this here. So I would rather keep this conversation offline.
This is a members only conversation.
Literally.
If you want this kind of conversation, subscribe as a member.
No.
Okay. healthy things. Let's keep going. So feeling your feelings. That's what we just felt. We felt our feelings.
That's a healthy thing?
Yeah. I want to say that the conversation we just had about something that's like obviously important to us right now is healthy.
So why didn't we do it last night? Why didn't we talk about it?
Maybe it wasn't the moment. There's maybe moments for things.
I guess. Yeah.
Right. Okay. taking sick days, being alone for a while. Like it's all the same stuff. I feel like all that is healthy.
And maybe also not working past certain hours. I think that's also healthy.
The life of an entrepreneur. I was, that's actually here. I actually had it. Oh, wait, I don't. Damn. I saw this yesterday. So, in Korea, they were having a lot of trouble. Wait. Hold on. That was actually here.
Mm-hmm. I'll help you find it.
Wait. Guys, hold on. Okay. Well, it isn't, but I know it off the top of my head. Being overworked in Korea was actually becoming a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you don't leave work until the boss leaves work. I didn't know that.
Damn, that
so
is horrible.
If you clock out at 5 and your boss has a meeting at 11 at night, you can't leave until the boss leaves.
Interesting.
And so that became a problem in Korea. And the government had to step in and all computers at all businesses turn off at a certain time. There's no work can be done after a certain amount of time. And now Korea is number 2 in the most overworked countries in the world. And
with that new law?
Even with that. Okay. They're all working over 60 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. But the thing is also we all want to succeed. As business owners, we like the whole packing fiasco we just had talking about packing. That's kind of extra. Like it needs to be done, right? No.
The thing is that I forget what this law is. It's like a law of something. Okay.
Yeah.
After a certain level of time, your productivity and your output actually plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if you're doing more. It's not. Think about like running. You can run at a certain speed for 20 minutes. You're going to have to slow down eventually. And you're still doing it, but you're not doing it as fast. You're actually less productive. Your form now is like falling apart. You're probably hurting yourself as you're going, right? So that's not a long-term strategy.
Yeah.
So that's why that's the same
example.
Yeah,
it's being overworked. Right. That is like the base, I guess, word for it.
Yeah.
But I understand. I get what you're saying. That the level of productivity that you get out of someone after a certain threshold is less and can actually impact how effective they are during normal work time.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
And it affects everybody else around you too. Just like if the boss is still there and the employees are still there, they're going to be really tired the next day. So that's why I'm saying when I see you overly doing it, it affects me too, which mm-hmm. then in turn, I can't be a better boss, leader. The next day I'm worse off for it.
So too. What is the answer? To preventing overworking.
We should really align ourselves on what is sustainable for us. Like, do we really have to ship out every single day packages? Or can we do it at least every other day? That's one.
But, okay. if we don't ship out every single day, then that means that that packing load for the next time is bigger, right? And so, it's also about like, okay, some sort of that work, and we're referring to packing, right? You as the viewer, I want you to visualize this as some other type of work that you might need to do every single day. Maybe even chores. Chores are also equivalent to this because if you don't do your chores for the day, they accumulate for the next day, right? Yeah. That is what you can maybe compare this to.
Okay, right? Here's the example. Ready?
Okay.
Your mom helps us with cleaning.
Yes.
Thank God for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She comes every 2 weeks and she does a really deep clean, right?
Yeah.
Last time I cleaned with her and I said, here's what I like. And damn, I realized this is a lot for just one person.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I sought out cleaners, which I still haven't been able to negotiate because their rate was very overpriced.
Extremely ridiculous.
So then guess what? This week I was like, how do I make the load for her less, for your mom? I've been sweeping almost every day.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like little things. Your mom didn't have to be trained, but I did tell her, hey, I really like this. So now she knows that. You are such an intelligent man. You can train somebody to read a piece of paper and say, here's what you need to pack. A sticker notebook. Cool. This color, this quantity, this. Now you have to let go. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I've been there and I was always the person. No, seriously.
So help me.
All right, I'll help you out.
Who? We'd have to hire someone. That the end of the day, it's a hire. Someone needs
maybe
to do
that's
it.
That's what we need then.
Because
honestly, at this point, maybe we need somebody who is like part time and can help us.
We're in such a weird spot.
It is. It's a weird one. We're just in the middle.
We're right in the middle. It's like we have enough that we could potentially hire, but we don't have enough because and so we might not.
Right. It might hurt us.
And every dollar here right now at this very moment is investable into a product or an idea. And so I don't feel like it's necessary. So I look at what I have. I look at the people that I have around me. What are they best suited for? Right. The people that I believe could pack aren't qualified, I think, to do it. And the people that could potentially pack and are smart enough to pack and understand the receipts, I would rather making content. And so like.
So then why am I packing? At times.
You just want to help me.
But because I feel that load.
This is a bigger problem because if we brought it up this many times in this podcast, it means that it is an issue.
Of course. It's an issue.
And the viewer obviously is going to see that.
I know it's a huge issue. I wouldn't have been asking.
Logistics is the core problem in most businesses. Shipping is the hurdle.
And from a perspective like the one I'm seeing, it's not that difficult to change. So fine. If you don't feel like you can be the implementer in that, then I have to figure out a way to do it. And it won't be.
But I've made so many. We pre-pack, we pre-prepare. A lot of the things are already ready. I've organized the room in a way where it makes packing more efficient. I feel like I'm packing less time. I feel like I've made it more efficient. That's true. Right?
I think the room. I also feel like there's always a buffer time where things are really icky because you don't see the fruits of your labor until like a few days after. You already said this next week will be the first launch, or by the time this is out, will be the first launch that we have everything in stock. The room is actually really organized.
We have a room.
We didn't even have a room for packing. Right. So maybe what we will see that.
But the expectations are also just need to be realistic. Like we can't be together and want to watch a movie at night. You say, oh, can you finish packing in 30 minutes? Like, It almost keeps me anxious. It gives me anxiety, like hardcore, because then I feel like I need to rush and I know I'm going to mess up somewhere and then it causes problems. So I don't know. This is a topic that definitely needs to be fixed somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously like invading our thoughts in a way.
Our energy.
Our energy,
it's
our thoughts.
Sucking up our energy is what it's doing.
Huh.
Anyways, but I've known this.
Yes. So I actually found out what part of my script I had the whole Korea thing in. And it was, what are you glad you tried once, but will absolutely never do again? And we'll end the show with this question. Mm. And then the one that pertained to that was someone lived in Korea They lived there as a student, but they said that they would never go back to enter Korea's workforce. That's what that particular person said. Someone else said scuba diving, traveling. Another person said that they would never drop out of school again. That they dropped out and found out that dropping out was not the solution and they entered school again.
Interesting.
Some people just really like school.
Why though? Did they explain it?
They said that...
Was the workforce difficult?
Dropping out of college taught me a lot of things while I was away, primarily how I did not want to drop out of college.
Hmm.
Sometimes you need to experience something to realize it's not for you. You know?
I'm trying to think what would be one for me. Because I thought about my breast implants.
Mm, for sure.
Like I am kind of, am I glad? I mean, I hated all the repercussions that came from it, but I am glad that I did it because I don't know if maybe I would have changed other things.
Moving to LA. We did it. We experienced moving. We found out that it really wasn't for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life is full of one-time tries and attempts at something. And then you're like, oh, that didn't kind of like turn out the way I wanted it to, or it was kind of uncomfortable, you know?
That's true.
Going back to the whole breast implant thing, if you wouldn't have done it, however old you were, I can't remember right now, would that kind of thought still linger? And like you would have maybe pursued that later on, or you just said
I think I would still have done it.
Really?
Yeah, I would have.
Why is that? Did you feel a need to do it?
Yeah, because I didn't like the way my breasts looked, so I wanted a change.
Mm.
And so I would have still done it. And same story, I would have regretted it. So I don't want to say I'm glad that I tried it once, because I'm not glad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do
feel like you learned from it.
Duh.
So that is the thing of trying something once, because it seems like all these people in these comments and everybody who's experienced something once realizes like if that it wasn't as good or they have a different outlook once they kind of come out that other.
Yeah, I just hate that life lesson.
Really?
Yeah. I wish I didn't have to go through that. I feel like it put me back in my health many years. I don't know if I'm even still suffering from some of those repercussions.
That's right.
That sucks.
That is very true.
I'm
trying to think about something that I did that I might have tried once that I was like, nope, not again. I'm trying to think. Well,
someone, YouTube?
No, I mean,
no?
I tried once,
having your own kept channel? In it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was actually on TikTok Shop Live yesterday, and I was talking about how I don't see myself as a poster. I'm more of like a behind-the-scenes worker. Like, I make things work. I make...
So true.
I have like
point of putting it.
Feelings about how things need to be done and implemented, and I'll give suggestions, and I kind of know what'll work, but I never, like... I can't see myself taking my own advice for things.
That's a bad thing.
What I mean by that though is like if I advise you, oh, what is the best way for your YouTube channel to like succeed, I'm not going to do it for myself because I don't have the YouTube channel to do that. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you don't have the desire.
The desire to do it for myself, but right. I can see where someone can implement my ideals or my thoughts and succeed with them, you know. Is that wrong?
Yeah, I kind of think that's wrong.
Are you saying that I need to implement it in my own for myself before I can give that advice to someone else? Or like, how is that wrong?
Yeah, I do think that's wrong because it's easier said than done, period.
I brought up Rick Rubin earlier in the same podcast, how he doesn't do instruments, doesn't play, but he has good taste in music and understands what it takes to have a hit song. Is that kind of like what I'm giving off? Like, I don't have a YouTube channel. I rarely post on Instagram. I don't do any of these things, right? Mm-hmm. But I am surrounded by you guys consistently doing this, and I have like kind of like an outsider perspective of like.
No, yeah, and I think that there's like validity in that. I'm not saying that like people should believe what you're saying because you have that experience,
yeah,
that expertise and that point of view.
I have hit upload. I don't want people to get the wrong idea, like. Like I upload the podcast, I upload all these things, but I feel like I've never really done it in where it's like my name, like under me. It is my creative everything. Like I do this work, right? Unless it was like maybe my own YouTube channel, which I maybe posted like a couple dozen times.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. I don't think that advice is good then. I'm trying to.
So why do you follow my advice?
Which advice?
Well, all sorts of stuff.
Like, what do you mean exactly?
We deep dove into YouTube again earlier this week. We talked about
it. I've been battling with it.
And I was telling you, like, this is the proper way to do titles now. This is how you do thumbnails. This is, like, how you find the topic.
But I think that...
And I don't have a YouTube channel.
You don't understand the energy that it takes. So that's why it's easier said than done. And that's the part that I have a difficult time with. So for a moment, I was also thinking... That maybe I don't...
Wait, that was actually interesting. You said you don't understand the time it takes to get the task done. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that that also kind of contributes to like what I'm feeling.
That's exactly what I was thinking right
about
now.
About packing and these other things.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was putting myself in your shoes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That hits that nail.
But guess what?
Maybe you could pull that nail with that nail.
Yeah.
What? Or your mind's doing its thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about how, but I know that YouTube takes a lot of time that I do not have at the moment because of all the things I'm also doing. Like there's trade-offs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking into hiring somebody part-time because of that. So that should be the same framework we do for...
It's always packing. Looking at what is the one task that is just time-consuming and you can give away. And I want you to understand that I see what you say. I hope someone could take packing away and just do it, but do it right, do it efficiently, timely, put enough care into it that I know that, okay, that's dealt with. Like, I don't got to go and like do that.
And you don't think anybody could do that?
No one has enough care.
See, that's a problem. That is a worker problem. That's a worker's mentality, and that's an issue because you can't grow like that.
Okay.
You can't. You have to be willing to give things up. And that's why we're going to be stagnant if we don't give that up.
I've never gotten as many comments or reviews saying that they've missed a product since I was packing with you. Both of us.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Even having you pack, there is mistakes. I've seen it in our reviews that, oh, I'm missing pens. Oh, I'm missing a sun catcher. Oh, I'm missing tabs. You know, anytime I pack with someone else simultaneously, there's always issues. And when I'm packing myself by myself, there's nothing wrong. So that's what I'm saying. I have to be careful.
There's probably issues with me because I have overworked myself. And now I'm there past a certain time.
Agreed.
So I'm tired and I have a lot on my mind. So that's probably why those things happen.
Yeah.
When it's just you, this is your one task you're giving yourself. It, at night is what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
What?
No. It's fine for you to say that. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Continue.
So therefore, when you're the one, it's just like with the podcast bits, right? Last week we had an issue. When I did it by myself, I was able to get it to work properly, right?
Yeah.
But I still believe I can give that up.
Getting a job that can be done by one person and splitting it amongst many will always cause conflict somehow. It's all about condensing it and giving it to one person and they deal with everything because they know all that goes with it, all that's done with it, all the communication that has gone with it, everything. Right? All right. I think that's it for today's episode. This was a Natalie and Dennis episode only. No intern, no Francelli, no nothing. I changed the cameras. Natalie was barefoot. I'm here with my nasaliness. I'm sorry if I feel or sound nasally.
Nobody cares about the nasal.
I care.
No.
I hear myself through my headphones.
Nobody cares about it.
Also, we do want to remind you guys about the whole rating thing. Please be sure to rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave a comment. Hit like.
Dennis was so nasally.
Engage. Dennis's nasalness is terrible. It's been 5 episodes of nasalness.
I could smell Natalie's feet through the screen. One. One
star. If you want to see Natalie's dog, subscribe to our members.
Hell no. Oh my God.
Yeah, and that's it for today's episode. Tune in next Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
I can't.
For the Natalie and Dennis Show. It's free. We don't charge because we can't find the time to create more content for you guys to subscribe and pay us. So, but by the way, today, 8 p.m., I got a date with some boxes downstairs. I got to pack probably again, whether we like it or not.
Okay, this is really depressing.
And that's it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much.
We're going to go cry now.
Living vicariously through us and our problems. Bye.